Slichos yesterday, and I'd just like to make a couple of comments about Slichos. And by way of introduction, I saw a story once in the name of the Panavizhirov. Panavizhirov was a survivor of the Shoah. He then relocated to Bnei Brak, and he built up much of Bnei Brak. He built up Panavizh. It was never expected that it would become what it became. And he gave his whole heart and soul to build up that beautiful yeshiva and that edifice of Torah, which is in Bnei Brak. And the Panavizhirov once made a comment that he used to travel around the world collecting money from various different communities in order to build this beautiful yeshiva that he ultimately was able to build. And he said, I feel so uncomfortable when I knock on somebody's door and I ask them for an adava, I ask them for a check, I ask them to help me out. He says, who am I to ask somebody to help me? Why is my cause so much more important than anybody else's? And he said he feels very inadequate and very uncomfortable when he has to do that. But yet, he said, were I going to somebody's home to reclaim a loan that I gave them? Let's say I lent somebody money and I gave them a certain time when they have to pay up by, and now it's time for me to go and collect it. He said, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable at all. It's my money that I'm going to collect. So he said that's the perspective that he felt. Every time he went collecting, he felt that he was taking other people's money and using it for a cause that he thought was important. And yet if he was going to somebody's home and reclaiming his own money, he wouldn't feel uncomfortable at all. Said the Panavizhirov, maybe that's what we mean every day when we begin our slichos, with the words, L'cha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu boshes hapanim. Isn't it strange, he says, you show up before the Ribono Shel Olam, and you ask him for all kinds of things, and nobody here feels uncomfortable. We walk before God and we say, give me life, give me a parnasa, give me a shidduch, give me that my children should be successful. We want all kinds of things. And we go through the whole laundry list of things that are very important to us. And throughout the days of Slichos at Yom Naram, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, this season of year, we ask God for so many things that we think we need for the coming year. And nobody feels uncomfortable. We stand in front of God very arrogantly and we ask for everything that we feel we need. Why do we have the ability to do that? Says the Panavizhirov, because it's a mistake in our perspective. Because we think we're going to reclaim that which is already ours. We think we're going to God and saying, look, my life is mine. I'm here already. So once I'm here, and now that I deserve life because you put me on this world, I want X, Y, and Z. I want a whole bunch of things. So nobody feels uncomfortable about that. That's like going to somebody's home and reclaiming the money that you know is deserving to you. However, says the Panavizhirov, if a person would only shift the perspective and understand that we start at zero. We start at zero. We are not deserving of anything. The initial understanding is, next year we will not have life. Next year the Ribono Shel Olam is not going to grant us anything. And now we're asking him to give us something, then our tefillah would be very different. Then the nature of the tefillah would be with such humility. And he said that's why we start off every day our slichas, L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka V'lanu Boshes Hapanim. We do start off and we submit ourselves to God and we say, we are ashamed, we are embarrassed every time we come before you to ask for anything because we do understand. We internalize that message that when we knock on your door, we are asking for something that we are completely undeserving of. Something that we don't expect to come to us at all. And if that's the perspective when we come to the Yamim HaNoraim, our tefillah will be very different. Obviously, during the time of Slichos, the most important part of the Slichos that we recite is the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Those are the 13 attributes of the Ribono Shel Olam, as we'll see in a minute, that are really the highlight. Those are really the centerpiece of our slichos that we recite every day. The Shari Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch writes that a person is not allowed to be maskir yud gimel midos shelo b'kavana. One is not just allowed to say the words without understanding, without thinking about the words that they're saying. Contrast that to many other parts of davening where a person might, yes, have the right to say the words even if they don't understand every particular phrase that's being mentioned. But here by the yud gimel midos, it's clear the Achronim say one has to understand, one has to internalize the messages and really appreciate what it is that they are saying. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes in his commentary on Chumash in Parshas Kisisa, where the Torah there outlines the Yud Gimel Midos and goes through the whole story of how they were shared with us. He says, Kol HaMevin Shlosh Esrei Midos. Anyone who thinks and who understands what the Yud Gimel Midos are all about. V'yodea Perushan V'ikaron. And a person who makes time to understand what they really mean and how they are supposed to affect the judgment of God when he's thinking about us, umispalo behem kavana. Anyone who does that, and nowadays I would dare say that there is no excuse not to. Every sitter, every machzor that we have in English gives you the opportunity to just read through very quickly, just to peruse through what the Yud Gimel Midos mean and what their significance is. If you look in the Rav's machzor, he goes through very clearly, very beautifully, what exactly the Yud Gimel Midos are. Here says Rabbeinu Bechaya, somebody who takes out time to actually understand what they mean, ein tfilaso choseres rekam. That tfila will not be returned empty-handed. Vihine, Bizman hazeh she'anachnu shruyim begalus, writes Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he's one of the G'dolei HaRishonim, so this is many, many hundreds of years ago, writes Rabbeinu Bechaya, a person who lives today, when we are in the exile, and we don't have, ein lanu kohen gadol l'chaper al chatosein, we don't have that trick of the kohen gadol, so to speak, who just went to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur and got a kapara for all the Jewish people. We don't have that. V'lo mizbeach l'hakriv alav karbanos. Nowadays we also are bereft of a mizbeach, where we have the opportunity to atone for ourselves by offering a sacrifice. We don't have that either. V'lo Beis HaMikdash l'hispalo besocho. As we know, Beisi Beis Tfila Yikari l'chal ha'amim. The Beis HaMikdash was the place where we were able to offer a tefillah in its most powerful state. Lo nishar lanu lefnei Hashem. All we have left today, writes Rabbeinu Bechaya, without a Beis HaMikdash, without a Kohen Gadol, without karbanos, is bilti im tefilasenu v'yud gimel midosa. So why not take advantage, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, of this opportunity that we have through this time of year to recite the Yud Gimel Midos and to understand what they mean to us, to internalize their messages, and to make sure that we make the most of this opportunity and of this experience. So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin that the Yud Gimel Midos really were shared with us by the Ribono Shel Olam himself. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. He sees the Jewish people are engaged in idol worship. They're serving the Egel Hazav. He is ashamed. He is astounded. He can't believe what happened. And he goes and he begs the Ribono Shel Olam that they should be forgiven, that they should be gained an atonement. And there we are told, Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra. God comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak. He passes his face over him and he says the following. Says the Gemara Melamed, we learn from here, Shenis atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibur, that God actually put a talus over his head. God put a talus around his body, whatever that's supposed to mean. Beherelo the Moshe Seder HaTfila, and he dictated, he demonstrated to Moshe exactly how it should be done. Should there be a chance later on in history, should there be an experience where the Jewish people fall as they have fallen today, this is what you should do. Yasu lefanai keseder hazeh. Amarlo, he said, Kozman she Yisrael choten, any time that the Jewish people are finding themselves in a state of sin, Yasu lefanai keseder hazeh va'ani mochel lahem. Now, number one, the Magen Avraham quotes from earlier sources, earlier Achronim, that when a person says the Yud Gimel Midos, they should be careful not to slur the words. Now, that doesn't just mean to say every word carefully, but here, writes the Magen Avraham, one should be careful to make a very particular break in the sentence. Why? He says, because really, this is just an account of what God himself did. Vayikra, people think it means Vayikra b'shem Hashem, that he called out in the name of Hashem, but that's not what it means. It means Vayikra b'shem, and he said the name Hashem, meaning Hashem is the one who called out his own name and who taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to say the Yud Gimel Midos. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, that will change the meaning of the phrase. If you say Vayikra b'shem Hashem, it means Moshe Rabbeinu called out in the name of Hashem, but that's not really what it means. Magen Avraham says he's supposed to really have in mind Vayikra b'shem, God called out in his name, Hashem, that's just the noun, that's the person who, that's the being, who called out all of these words, the Yud Gimel Midos. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, a person should make a break in between that, and then you begin the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham Lechanun. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, why do we say Hashem twice? Why do we start off the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim saying, Hashem, Hashem? Why do we say his name twice, or as we just said, three times? Says the Magen Avraham, the first time you say Shem Hashem of the three times, that's not part of the Yud Gimel Midos. Vayikra b'Shem Hashem is separate. Now you start the Yud Gimel Midos, but why do we say his name twice? Says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us, Hashem anihu kodem sheyechda ha'adam, I am the merciful God before a person makes a mistake, before somebody falls prey to the aver they're about to do. V'anihu la'achar sheyechda ha'adam, I am also the merciful God after the person violates the aver, I am willing to accept the tshuva even after you've done something wrong, even after you have violated all the principles, all the covenants that we've made with each other, says God, I'm still willing to be benevolent and kind and merciful even after Sheyechda Adam. So the Rosh and many others asked the following very obvious question. What does it mean, one of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim is, that God has mercy on us before we violate an avera? Why do we need his mercy before we violate an avera? I haven't done anything wrong. Makes sense that God should sustain me and take care of me before I've done an avera. I'm following the rules. I'm doing everything right. So what does the Gemara mean when it says God has mercy on us before we violate an avera? Why do we need his mercy then? So the Rosh answers, well, maybe that's referring to a case where somebody is serving Avodah Zarah. Why is that unusual? What is so different about serving Avodah Zarah, says the Rosh? Because the halacha is, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, normally when a person violates an avera, let's say I speak Lashon Hara. When have I violated the avera? Once I said the words that were negative words about somebody else. What about all of the minutes that I took thinking about what I was going to say? Which most of us don't. If we would think about it, we wouldn't say it. But what if a person thinks about a negative act before they do it? Says the Gemara, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarev Machshava L'Maisa. God doesn't consider all of the thoughts in formulating your Lashon Hara before you said it. That doesn't count. The Avera is violated only when you do the Avera, but we don't take into account everything that led up to the Avera in your Machshava, in your mind. However, the one exception to the rule the Gemara says is Avodah Zarah. Let's say you have a person who serves Avodah Zarah. Not only are they punished for serving the Avodah Zarah, but they're punished also for all of the preparatory stages in their mind that they went through, the machshava that led to the Avodah Zarah as well. That's what the Gemara teaches us, and it's learned out from a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel, that not only are you punished by serving Avodah Zarah for doing the act itself, but also for all the thought process that went into it as well. And there, writes the Rush, that's what it means. God has mercy on a person who serves Avodah Zarah not only after they serve it and they violate the act itself, but He has mercy on them even while they're going through the machshava, while they are considering how they are going to violate the act, and God is merciful enough that He doesn't punish them immediately already upon the thought process itself. He only waits until later. God only waits until later, till once they violate the act as well, then He's going to accumulate everything that they've done, and then He's going to punish them in a lump sum. And that's something that is bothering many, many of the Achronim. They don't like that suggestion of the Rush. They feel, based on a Gemara Maseches Chulin, that it's not the proper answer. It cannot be the case. We don't have enough time to get into it. And therefore, they suggest a number of other reasons. What does it mean that God looks after us? God has Rachmanis on us even before we do the Avera. So the Rush writes a second suggestion. And he says, perhaps the reason why is because, Ki hu yadai yitzreinu. We say it every day in Tachanun. God knows from the outset of creation that all of us are going to make mistakes. God knows that all of us are going to do things that are against His will and against His word. And yet, He gives us a chance at life anyway. That's what it means. Hashem, God is a Kel Rachum, even before we do the Avera, even before we do anything wrong, He's willing to give us a chance, even though it doesn't make sense that He should give us a chance. He knows He's going to create us. He knows He's putting us into a lion's den. He knows we're going to do something wrong. He knows we're going to anger Him. And yet He gives us a chance anyway. Isn't that an incredible gift? Isn't that an unbelievable mercy on the part of God? And that, writes the Rush, is the reason why we say Hashem has Rachmanis before we do the Avera as well. But let's just close before Mincha with one comment of the Tshuva Me'ava. That is the preeminent student of the Noda B'Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar Fleklish, where he writes such a powerful insight, in my opinion, where he says that perhaps what this means is, what does it mean that Hashem has Rachmanis on us before we violate the Avera? He writes, what it means is that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes the Chelek HaNeshama inside of all of us, the Chelek HaTov Shel HaNeshama, and He makes sure to extract it before we violate an Avera. Because He doesn't want us to be pogim our own Neshama. What an unbelievable insight. I don't know exactly what it means, but he says perhaps that's the answer to the question of the Rishonim. What does it mean when we say God has Rachmanis on us, God has mercy on us before we violate an Avera? The Rush asked, why do we need His mercy before we violate an Avera? Explain some of the Achronim, the reason why we need His mercy is because He's willing to take the important parts of ourselves out of us before we're about to do the terrible act that we're about to violate. God takes the positive aspect of our neshama to make sure that we will not be pogim our neshama, that we don't ruin ourselves forever. And He makes sure to extract that to be sure that as life moves on, after we've done whatever act that we've done, we can still live a life with a pure neshama. And that, he writes, is an incredible gift. And that is something that we mean, perhaps, when we say, Hashem has Rachmanis before we violate the Avera. Ani Hashem kodem sheyechta, v'ani Hashem la'achar sheyechta.